Good morning, church. My name is Bryce Carman. I'm an intern here at Northview, and I have the pleasure and honor of sharing with you guys the communion this morning. Wow. So this morning I want to share with you some thoughts on who God is, and a lot of these ideas are influenced by some lectures from John Lennox, so anything from him, highly recommend. But there are two analogies of his that I'm going to focus on tonight, or this morning, actually. So one of them actually involves marriage, so I hope you enjoy listening to a 19-year-old talk about marital relationships. Yeah, it'll be great. So in one of his lectures, Lennox is talking about what makes Christianity stand out from other religions. And the first point he makes is that Christianity isn't unique because of the sense of morality that it has, right? Our sense of morality doesn't come from a structured religion or from philosophy. It comes from us being made in God's image. It's who we are made in the image of. And so because of that, what separates Christianity instead is the relationship that we have with God, what that's based on, and the fact that he actually desires one with us. So that's what this communion message is about. It's what a relationship with God is based on, using Lennox's analogies that I mentioned. So the first analogy I'm going to share with you is a misconception that I think a lot of us have heard before. It's the image of God as a teacher, and the image of heaven as guarded by the selection process, by an exam. So if we think of heaven as guarded like an exam, our response to it is, oh, we need to study, right? We have to make flashcards with scriptures on them and prepare a resume and wait for that day. And if we do enough of the good and make up for the bad, then maybe we'll get into heaven and deserve to be there. But the problem with that is how perfect or imperfect the sum of our life was isn't the important part, because Christ makes all who come to him clean. So as 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." So a resume of our good and evil deeds in the world, and an exam to top it off, that doesn't reflect that same truth. To quote Lennox, would you base your relationship with a human on that? On an exam or on a resume? So the next analogy Lennox describes is an answer to that question. It's him creating a story of what him and his first interaction with his wife could have been if he tried to form a relationship with her in the same way that we sometimes think God's trying to form a relationship with us, if we view him as a teacher or the gates of heaven as an entrance to an exam or to a college. So Lennox says, "Imagine I went up to her and said, 'I'd like you to be my wife. Now, I have a present for you.' And so she goes, 'Oh, thank you.' She unwraps the present and, oh, it's a cookbook. Don't you love it? And it's full of laws, and if you want to bake an apple pie, thou shalt take 2 cups of butter and 3 cups of milk, and thou shalt turn the oven to 400 degrees, and so on and so forth. And, of course, I'm not willing to accept you now. Of course not. But if you follow the rules of this book for 40-odd years, and you bake me enough pies and give me a decent holiday every year or two, then I'll think about accepting you. You know, I'll throw your name in the hat." How would you respond to that proposition? You guys were laughing. You recognize it's absurd, right? So the logic behind it is, I'll try and keep to your rules and hope that one day you'll accept me. Viewing heaven's gate as a selection process based on merit implies that our acceptance comes at the end. But the wonderful thing about marriage, this is how marriage relates, it's that you accept each other in the beginning of the marriage. So Lennox said this about his marriage and his wife: "The fact that my love for her doesn't depend on her cooking, it sets her free to cook. And likewise, I live to please her, not to gain her acceptance, but because I've already got it." So to go back to the divide between Christianity and other religions, in Christianity, the acceptance comes at the beginning and not at the end. It's not based on merit, and that's why we can be certain of our salvation. Discipleship has similarities with marriage in this sense, right? It's the commitment to please God as a recognition of the fact that he's already accepted us in the beginning. It's a commitment to follow his will, not to earn a place with him in the end necessarily, but so that we can walk with him now, bringing heaven to earth as Jesus prays about in Matthew. So when I'm studying scripture or worshiping God by playing piano, as I will after the communion, which I'm excited to play for you guys, I'm going to play a piece by Bach, who, the cool thing about Bach is a lot of the things that he wrote at the end of his transcriptions, he would write, "Glory be to God alone." So that's something to ponder on when taking communion. But when I'm doing these things, serving others, anything that glorifies God, it's not to gain God's acceptance or to earn anything from him. I'm doing the good work set before me out of gratitude and out of love for the God who loved me enough to sacrifice his one and only son so that he might walk with me. And so God made the statement that he was willing to come close to us. And that statement was not only sending himself to the scene of suffering, right, by walking on earth through Christ, but by exalting himself on the pinnacle of that suffering through the cross. And that whole understanding it's just beautiful. The very act of faithfulness is what took away our sins, God's act of and proof of his faithfulness. Christ is the proof of the commitment that God has made to us of his faithfulness and our relationship with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 explains that God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And I'd argue that it's God's calling us to fellowship with him through his Son. That's the very act that proves his faithfulness. John 3:16 says that it proves his love, right? That God's sacrifice demonstrates the love he has for us, the yearning he has to be with us, his children. And I'm really grateful that Levi shared that part about Abraham, because last night I was kind of going through this message, and that's something that I added in, just the whole the dynamic of Abraham and Isaac and the parallel between God and his son. Because it's the sacrifice. God made the sacrifice that Abraham's faith kept him from having to follow through with. If you remember Abraham taking his son to the mountain, God not only took his son to the mountain, but knew that the sacrifice that wasn't necessary for Abraham because of his faith was necessary for Christ because of God's faith, so that we might be saved and that God's faith in us might be known. So let's imagine God watching Abraham taking Isaac up on the mountain, knowing that it wouldn't be demanded of Abraham, but that it would be demanded of him when the time came for Christ to be sacrificed. So being baptized is the commitment we make to that relationship, right? It's the marriage vow in the same sense as marriage. And the life we live as disciples after that commitment is made is how we prove our faithfulness to God. God has shown his faithfulness through the life of his son, and our lives show God our faithfulness, not in order to gain acceptance in the end, but because we already have it. So as we have this time of communion, keep in mind that we have proof of God's acceptance of us in his son. As Jesus himself explains, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So let's pray. God, I am so grateful for your love. I'm grateful for how you've revealed yourself to me and to so many, for proving your faithfulness through your son. I pray that as we drink from the blood of the covenant, that we recognize the grace you pour out on us because of that desire you have to walk with us. I pray that in understanding what this covenant means and feeling the weight of the sacrifice that you made to prove your faith to us, that we're moved to come to you in the same way. I pray that we accept the gift you have given of having you with us in all forms, Father, Son, and Spirit, and that in walking with you, we do your will as it is in heaven, and that it pleases you. I pray that the sermon today speaks to those who hear it this morning and that it deepens our understanding of you and your word. I pray that the fellowship with each other after the service is rich and fills our heart, and that the fellowship we have with Christ for the rest of our lives that you call us to is the same. In his name we pray. Amen.